Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord Christ, good shepherd of the sheep, you seek the lost and guide us into your fold. Feed us, and we shall be satisfied. Heal us, and we shall be made whole. Make us one with you, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Jesus loves the little children of the world. The first reading is from the book of Acts. The next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners, Peter and John, stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man standing before you in good health is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from 1 John. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I've received this command from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We continue to celebrate this Easter season. We celebrate that Jesus did exactly what he said he was going to do. We celebrate that Jesus came and laid down his life for our sake and then was raised again from the dead. And this confession, this resurrection confession, is the proclamation of the earliest church. Today we heard a reading from Acts that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he boldly proclaimed that the reason the man was healed was because Jesus had risen from the dead. Another scripture we heard today is, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay it down for one another. The resurrection of Christ is the core of our faith. And it has been since the disciples witnessed that. On the internet, there's a search engine, Yahoo. I know probably most of you know Yahoo. And on the main page, there's these articles that usually come up. And they have some interesting ones. There's ones from, you know, like the Kardashians' latest fiasco to NASA, what they're currently working on or not working on. If you don't know who the Kardashians are, that's probably a good thing. Don't look it up. Lindsay, don't tell, explain. Anyway, so one article that I was reading, they had these researchers doing some excavations in Israel, and they found a tomb. And this tomb had engraved on it a big fish. And in that, and right next to the mouth is the fish spitting out somebody. This is the symbol of resurrection. Apparently, Jews didn't use that. In the first century, they didn't use the sign of Jonah very much. Christians did. So when a Christian would die, they carved it into their tomb, because like Jesus rose from the dead, our hope is in the resurrection. We will also rise from the dead. Jesus talked about not having any other sign, any other authentic sign than the sign of Jonah. 3 days in the depths, and then be resurrected, just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Now, this article and this find has not undergone rigorous peer review, so we don't know if it's a fake or not, but I find it interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing if it's real. That's the hope of the earliest Christians, is in this resurrection. And so we've been heavily immersed these last few weeks in the resurrection. And now we go back today to hear in the Gospel of John verses about the Good Shepherd in light of the resurrection. Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. Jesus identifies himself as the Good Shepherd. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord God, Yahweh. Jesus identifies himself as God. And Jesus goes further. He claims ownership over humanity. He says, the hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. Jesus is the owner of the sheep. Psalm 24 begins with, the earth is the Lord's. The earth is God's and all that is in it. Jesus is the owner. And it's another way that Jesus claims this divinity, is claiming ownership over creation. Because if Jesus were just the hired hand, then when the wolf came, he would run away. But no, he's heavily invested in creation because it belongs to him. The Good Shepherd takes care of what is his. In fact, the shepherd takes such good care of what is his that he lays down his life for it willingly. But not only to die, but be raised. This is how much the Good Shepherd loves us. So this is just a few examples from the Gospel of John that we heard today. He's the Good Shepherd because he takes care of us with his very life, death, and resurrection. And now we go further back into the Scriptures. We look at Psalm 23 to see how Jesus is this Good Shepherd. I'm not going to talk to you about every single verse in Psalm 23, but there are some that I particularly like. The first section in the psalm is about God's leadership and providence. For those of us who were on this journey, Christians were originally called people of the way, people of the way journey. It was the word in Greek was hados, which means way, road, or journey. They were called people of the way. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. God takes care of us on our journeys, and he is shepherding us along the way. There's a sense of safety that we get from God, from a God who is leading us in our lives. There's this one verse that always just gives me such hope. It says, it always brings me back to life. The psalm says, he restores my soul. He brings me back to life. God is the one when the dark times arrive, when we feel like we're in the nearest, darkest valleys, that Jesus brings us back. He walks with us in those times. We have nothing to fear because these times of darkness Jesus went through. Jesus knows the dark valleys. And because he is the Good Shepherd, we should not fear them. The very end of the psalm says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow, this is good news. In the highlands of Scotland, a sheep would often wander into the rocks and get into places that it couldn't get out of. The grass on these mountains is very sweet, and the sheep like it. And they'll jump down 10 or 12 feet, and then they can't jump back up again. And the shepherds hear them in distress. They may be there for days until they have eaten all the grass. The shepherd will wait until they're so faint they cannot stand. And they'll put a rope around them. They'll go and pull the sheep out of the jaws of death. Why don't the shepherds go down there when the sheep first get there? Well, they're very foolish. And they would dash off of the cliffs and be killed. And such is the way with humanity. The Good Shepherd will bring you back the moment you have given up trying to save yourself. You ever had a bad day? You ever had an exhausting week? Me neither. There are times when the stars are just not properly aligned and it seems like everybody is just a little bit off center. Have you ever been so hungry that you are irritable? I learned there's a word for this. It's called hangry. So you're hungry and angry at the same time. I know that I've had days where I've just wanted them to end, where I couldn't wait to be in bed because tomorrow had to be a better day. And personally, I can tell you, waiting for a call is exhausting. How could waiting be exhausting? It totally is. But that's the beauty of the scripture we read today. There are times in our life where we need these words. We need to hear over and over again that Jesus is the good shepherd. He restores our souls, brings us back from those valleys of darkness. There are times where I go to church and I feel like I come in and I just plop myself down and I'm like, give it to me. I need to hear it. I need to hear God is for me. I need to hear that God loves me, that God is my shepherd. I need to hear that because of who God is, because Jesus, who Jesus is, that I shall not be in want. And I need to hear these stories over and over again because they go through my ears and into my head and through and into my heart, and it starts to shape my desires and my love, and it leads me to the right paths. I need to hear that story over and over again. I need to hear that when I'm faithless, God is faithful. I was in a Lutheran congregation in Los Angeles for a class, and there was a time in the congregation where people would just get up and there would be testimony time. People would get up and share how God was working in their lives, where God was leading them beside still waters and in the darkest valleys. They connected their lives to the scriptures, and we prayed and we praised together. If I had a microphone, I'm sure that many of you could get up and say, this is where God is at today. This is where God's leading me through. But it's always God who's leading. Think about your life. How much has God been there? Think about those times in your life when you can say that God has done this for me. God has shepherded me along this way. God has been there for me with every next step. Jesus is highly committed to creation and humanity. He is so committed that he became man and dwelt among us. Jesus is so committed to creation being what it should that he came and he led us through the miry clay and set our feet upon a rock. I love celebrating that God is our shepherd, because it brings me back to remember that God is so committed in being in relationship with us that he sent his son for us. There's this really great scripture from Deuteronomy. It says, teach them to your children, talking about them when you are at home or you're away, when you lie down and when you rise, write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. Brothers and sisters, write the Good Shepherd stories down. Read them. Let them wash over you again and again. Read them to your children, your grandchildren, your neighbor children. Remind them that Jesus is the one who will shepherd them at all times in their lives. That Jesus is the Good Shepherd who will guide them in all aspects. And when you're having a bad day or a bad week, hear the words again. Listen to them. Let them form and shape your heart. And trust God again and again and again. Amen.